Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
Late. Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs and now you know.
We're the hottest show in
wake
this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Yeah. Welcome, and Happy New Year. Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's 2017 here in the studios and where you live, unless you're in a dimensional time warp. And speaking of being in a dimensional time warp, two special guests today in the studios. John Levine is driving back to Atlanta as he passes all his billboards of being Mr. State or South Florida Fair. And Talia is busy. But filling in as our guest today, this is an interesting, the one and only Ciro.
Hey.
Dobrik.
Ciro Dobrik. Hey.
Dobrik. Dobrik. And Ethan Moore.
Hey, what's going on?
And, I have to let you know that you guys are lucky because Fozzle wanted to be on the show today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he actually. It was fun. You know, Fozzle, he comes up. He's a
Fozzle Malik.
Yeah, he's a local comic. He comes up to me, he's, Dougie, I just want to let you know I'm available Mondays. I could do your show. What time should I be there? And I hadn't put out a word that, nobody was here, anything, or, you know what I mean? I didn't really know that these guys weren't going to be able to make it, at least Talia wasn't, until within the last 48 hours. So I was like, I don't know, he just was in tune to it, but, I like the way his assumptive kind of like, I could be there, I'll be what time you want me there.
Yeah, he figured, hey, I could get on the show.
That's a professional comic right there.
Yeah.
When do you want me to do my thing?
It's like, I wish I was that assertive when I was dating. Okay, we're going to go out Saturday night. What time should I pick you up? who are you?
Time does your parents want me to drop you off?
So we're only a couple days into the new year. Has it been good for you so far?
Can't complain yet. I mean, I want to every single minute of every single day, but everything is just beautiful. I mean, the weather's been good in Florida. We had, 58
like
degrees?
50s, yeah.
That was so nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I feel sorry for all those poor suckers up north.
Yeah, the cold. I mean, listen, I like it when it's in the 50s because then you don't have to deal with sweat.
Well, that's apparently what everybody thinks Donald Trump was talking about, the 50s. You know what I mean? Make America great again, that type.
Yeah, I wonder if he had something to do with the, you guys have any interest in this? I'm going to guess you're not a Donald Trump fan. I don't know if you are either.
I love him.
Yeah.
Okay. Ciro loves him. I don't really care. I'm not a fan.
No.
But I'm not like, I don't know. I hey man, maybe he'll do some cool stuff.
I think if he had better comedic timing, he would be the funniest guy.
Think he has great comic timing.
Yeah.
He'd be so much better if he could just Belushi it.
Well, listen, I
hit America over the head with a guitar.
Samurai sword type
thing. Yeah. I gave my love a story. That had no end.
Exactly.
Fucking love that movie. Actually, I read to somebody never had seen that movie. And I said, dude, if you've never seen Animal House, like there's got to be at least, all right, let's just go ahead and say this. There's 10 movies that everybody should see. All right? And we'll start with Animal House. What's the next
Moving.
One? What?
Moving with Richard Pryor.
Okay.
I was just coming up. I just saw that the other day and laughed so hard.
Really?
Do you ever wonder if you had a twin brother, if you would do stuff like, if you were both on a track team, one person would run half the race, and then there's bleachers, and then your brother would come out and win the race every time?
I never thought of it that way, but have you ever seen the Moving?
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
I missed it.
I don't know.
My list.
I don't know if we're going to put that on the top 10 list
11.
Yet.
Put it on 11.
Because I haven't seen it, so I really couldn't give you a thumbs up.
I tried to pick a movie you haven't seen. So
all right. All right. Well, let's see.
Top 10 movies?
Yeah. Everybody should see.
Triumph of the Will, Leni Riefenstahl, 1933, Germany.
What the fuck is that?
You got, Nazi propaganda film. Okay. I'm just kidding.
All right. It was all right. So you guys obviously.
Dougie's like, I'm going to turn your mic off now.
Yeah. Made from Disney.
It's odd. Mic 3 was went out. It's
Blues
like,
Brothers.
Yeah, definitely. Blues Brothers.
I really like the original producers with Zero Mostel and Gene Wilder.
Okay.
Anything
with Gene Wilder in it.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, with that said, like Blazing Saddles.
I was waiting
that's
for you.
Solid.
Yeah.
I mean,
Stripes. Right? You got to see
Meatballs. Stripes is good.
Meatballs, yeah. Maybe.
Meatballs.
The original one, none of the other ones. Caddyshack.
I never got that one. I never really understood what people saw in that one.
Caddyshack?
Yeah. Somehow it just didn't hit for me. I don't know why.
Be the ball.
Yeah. I mean, there's funny scenes here and there, but it never kind of hung together as like
this house. This hat's terrible. Oh, but it looks good on you.
You really have to see Moving.
Yeah.
Because all these things are making me think of the movie itself. Like his neighbor in Moving. It's Richard Pryor.
Okay.
It's like late, early Richard Pryor.
Right before See No Evil, Hear No Evil type thing. Okay. And his neighbor is Randy Quaid. And it's this crazy neighbor, like his character in National Lampoon's Vacation, only on acid or something. Because he'll like pull out a lawnmower, but it's not a lawnmower. It's like a tractor with like a buzzsaw on it. It's got like a robotic thing, and it's louder than it should be.
All right.
You know what I mean? And then he moves all the way to Idaho, and guess who his neighbor is?
Same guy.
Not the same guy, but his cousin, who's more insane. But it's Randy Quaid playing both roles. Great.
Is this the theme to Moving?
This is a scene from Moving.
Oh, okay.
King Kong Bundy's in it.
Guy with a moving truck, semi, just ran over some poor kid's tricycle.
Okay, so there's already moving happening in the movie.
Yeah. Obviously, these are like...
Apropos.
Yeah. So yeah, so it really is about Moving.
It's about Moving. It's about Moving.
Fascinating.
Dana Carvey's in it.
Yeah,
it would be funny if it was just really a scene of one guy like loading, trying to get a couch through a window for hours.
I know. You expect another mover, huh? Hummingbird mover. We work for them now. As of yesterday, it's fate.
Fucking kismet.
Fucking kismet, fate. I don't give a damn about that. I don't want you gentlemen in my house. Anything that belongs to my family, damn.
Didn't that sound familiar? You came an hour early, by the way, today.
I did. I showed up an hour early.
He's like, how punk. I mean, you know what I mean? Some people show up late, which, you know, but this guy shows up an hour early.
I put it in my calendar for 3. I don't know why, but I was here at 2:59.
You just wanted to jump on other people's time.
Yeah, I was actually, that's I was going to pull a Fassel. I figured I'd just get here.
It's so ironic Fassel wouldn't show up to be here. It's like, oh.
Do you think Fassel still would have wanted to be here if he knew I was going to be here?
I don't know. That's the funny thing about it. I've seen you guys got into a little, all right, so Moving. Go see Moving and forget the fucking Top 10 list. I think we named 10 anyway.
Yeah.
This is, again, usually on our first show. Of the week here on the show. We do 2 or 3 shows a week. We used to call it Honest Tuesdays, where we talk about South Florida comedy scene, and all kinds of drama occurred in the last several years, you can imagine, on this show.
Sure.
But basically, this is something where he was accused of being a joke thief, like stealing somewhat internet jokes, which is
is it thievery if it's out there in the public?
A lot of people were saying that some of, like, Fassel's material... a lot of it's just kind of easy. So,
right.
Like, maybe, you know, it's just too simple. And so he just thought of the first joke instead of, you know what I mean, like really
going
writing something
deep
from his own life. Yeah. And, you know, when you're a one-liner comic, which Fassel is, then I guess that's kind of always a danger. But, but John Gregory kind of just came on my podcast, which my podcast is Sex on Kava, right? And we've been doing it for a couple of years now. And so occasionally we'll have these controversies, of course, as you can imagine, Dougie. And you'll just have someone come on and start saying something about someone else. And it usually turns into good radio, at least. So this is what happened. And Fassel came on my show and was talking about how John had discussed him stealing jokes on the Ultimate competition. So then John says to me, hey, I got to come on your podcast and respond to Fassel. So John comes on and he comes prepared and he goes through, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 jokes. And just pulling out, like, so here's where this one came from, here's where this one came from, here's, you know. And
now that were these dates stamped? Did he get that thorough?
Yeah.
Like if he showed up for Judge Judy, she'd be like impressed.
No, he did. He had the dates and the times and the whole thing. And then his correspondence with Fassel, too, also, which was kind of funny. And so then Fassel calls me. So he goes on, and you know, we made fun of the situation and Fassel a little bit. But I was kind of trying to step back because, you know, it's like, it's my show, so
you don't want to be one-sided. Exactly.
I do it with Rich Kennedy, who's not a comic. So it's easy for him to be kind of third-party, kind of
right.
You know, not take sides. And I don't want to take sides either. And so, but John's obviously taking sides. And Fassel calls me up the next week. He hears the show.
After it aired,
And he's like, he's angry, and so he's saying like,
he asked you to pull the show.
He didn't, but he said, "I thought you were my friend and all this stuff." And he's like, like, "You're not my friend unless you tell me that you believe that you believe me that I didn't steal those jokes." And I was like, "I'm not here to reassure you, man. I don't know what to say." Like, why don't you come on the podcast and you can respond, and then and you and John can both talk about it. And he was like, "I don't want to do that. I want to be involved."
So that's interesting, though.
That he doesn't want to respond.
We had a big show at the West Palm Beach Improv, just
live laughs or
laugh live.
Yeah,
it's pretty good exposure.
That was fun. It was Kel Thompson.
It was Kel Thompson who busted his butt to make that happen. I mean, he put out a lot of money just to make all the
promos and everything.
And
streamed it live and took video of everything and all this stuff.
Interesting, nice.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's funny because, you know, Renee Hart's behind everybody that tries to do something good like that. You know, she even put out an article like 2 days before saying, you know, oh, what's the biggest crime in comedy? You know, it's joke thieves.
Right. That's
true.
Like,
that's the biggest
thing. I saw that. And Fassel shared that, which I thought was funny.
Which is ironic.
Yeah. Now, the idea of one-liners, Fassel that. And, you know, it's interesting, but he does that. Like, he got mad at us on the show because, you know, when I pointed out when he thought he would open up for Patti LaBelle, you know, that fiasco, you know, and I told him, dude, you know, you got to think, you know, and like, we had, as comics, you know, one of the things I advise comics is, like, a lot of times comics come, hey, can you help me get into this club? And, you know, mind if, when you're going to be there, can I come do a spot? And if somebody's working and doing their job, I say, sure, man, you know, I'll do what I can. But if perhaps I don't think the person's ready.
Right.
Or, you know what, or things could go badly, you know, I'm not going to risk my reputation referring somebody. A, so somebody has to really, now think about this. When you refer somebody, it's only because you have no question.
Right,
of course, right.
Of course,
if you had the slightest doubt, if you're for self preservation, you'd be like, you know, I'll see what I could do.
Yeah, you're putting your reputation on the line.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So whether it's 50-50, you know. So my suggestion was, don't do it. Well, he went on his own and did it and ate a dick on stage, and you know, and off, you know, this particular club off the hook will never, you know, they're not gonna look at him. So you know, my advice went against deaf ears, and so you know, he unfriended me, and he, you know, did all these things, and he came back and apologized, and you know, admitted he was now. Now, I don't know if it's a question of Fassel sitting in front of a computer and reading all these memes and all this kind of stuff and then going, oh, I'm going to tell that joke. I don't know if it's that.
John was like, that is exactly what it is.
That's what
John
it
was
is.
Very adamant that that's what happened.
Well, the only way that could be is if, in fact, there are many of them. And if there are many of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta wonder. I don't know. And I guess I'll never know the truth. We'll never know the truth for sure. But I will tell you something that was kind of a funny follow-up to all that was, so I posted... I posted like a best of 16 for Sex on Kava over the last couple days. And so one of the things I put up was, it was a best of, and it had clips of that at exchange with Fassel and John Gregory. And so then he wrote me and he was like, stop using my name. I'm like, well, you're on the show, man. I'm just promoting it. So he didn't like that, which was funny. And then the second thing was, he wrote me and he said, hey, Ethan, one of the jokes that you did the other night is really similar to one of my jokes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, which one? And this is something I've been saying for the last few months, but he posted it on Twitter or Facebook recently. And basically my joke was, hey, a lot of people always say, hey, Ethan, those are really funny heroin jokes. And I'm like, yeah, jokes. You know, and that it's not even really a joke. It's like a throwaway line where I go into talking deeper like, no, I really did do drugs. And like, here's the rest of the story. Right.
So Fassel does heroin,
and so Fassel's like, "That's my joke," and I'm like, "Wait a minute."
When is Fassel doing heroin?
He had posted this thing where it was like, "Blah blah blah."
Great.
Girls say that I'm something something, I can't remember exactly what his joke was. Basically, it's something something something, but then I say, "I wish I were joking," And I'm like, Fassel, you didn't write the line, I wish I were joking.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like the write the line jokes either. It's just a throwaway line.
You know,
he used that style. And so if you're going to use the same kind of style with jokes,
in the discussion of joke thievery, it's like I watched that video. It was that when the thing about Louis C.K. and Dana Cook.
Yeah.
Dana Cook. You know what I mean? There's certain, and then the Carlos Mencia one, which, you know.
Which was a good one. Finally, where someone like, did that.
We actually took the where Carlos Mencia was the exact same thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean that the cadence and everything's it's not a one liner. You know what I mean? I mean our Kevin Perry accused me at the battle. He accused me of stealing internet jokes, and you know, listen, I'm not a deep. You know, I take simple premises and I take them in a way that no one expects them to go. They think they're going, so I write and I, but the premises aren't like, oh, in deep, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about, fucking, the Lord of the Rings. You know what I mean, dude? You know what I mean? I'm
building you a story,
but I'm definitely surprising you, and it's going to be unique. And so when someone said, "What's an internet joke?" And I'm like, listen, I can assure you. That's why I don't even like to watch comedy. I don't like to go to comedy. I don't want to have any of that. They gave a name for it, but where sometimes you hear something and then it goes in your subconscious, and all of a sudden,
cryptomnesia or something.
Cryptomnesia. Yeah, I think that's right. So
I thought I was smoking too much pot and just stealing.
Well, exactly. You know, I mean, I had a fellow comic, I won't mention his name, that says, "Hey, man, my friend texted me this. I'm going to use it." I go, "Well, how do you know where the fuck he got it? How do you know he didn't just see it on?" You know what I mean? So now you're, he got early in his career, this particular comic got labeled as an internet comic.
See, the way I always look at it is like, as long as it should come from your personal experience in some way, right? If the joke is true to you and what you feel, then you're going to have a lot less chance of that happening.
Audience knows that too, though.
You know, I tell the joke, the drug test joke. I took a drug test. I didn't pass. I pissed, smoked so much, but I put my piss in the machine. The machine started playing Bob Marley music. It opens up with a drug test. I figured I've done most drugs. I should do pretty good on that test. Now I've never heard anybody tell that joke. When I wrote that joke, I never heard anybody tell that joke. I never heard anybody do it on. I never heard anybody perform it. It related to me because I had to take a drug test as a financial advisor, fiduciary.
Uh-huh.
Every company I work for, I had to take a drug test. So I have to, I was writing.
What does that have to do with financial advising?
What?
You know what I mean? Like, what if that's your method? Like, what if you need to, like, take acid so you can see through the Wall Street Journal and see the real stocks?
Listen, I tried to talk to the compliance board about that.
Right?
They weren't that understanding. You know?
I feel like there's a missed opportunity here, man.
The funny thing about the world like that, this is the funny part. Like you go on these due diligence trips, and you be hanging out with all these financial planners, right? Like, and everybody talking business, and you're like, oh, I hate this shit. And every once in a while, you run into that other dude that, like, burns or something. Like, hey, dude, what's up? I'm like, he's fucking, hey, man, you smoke? Yeah, you flew, you didn't bring in, like, dude. And then I got a friend on my corporate
trip. For life,
right?
For life.
Right? And then you, like, that was like me in the corporate trips, right? That would be me, and I end up finding that one, person that really shouldn't be there either.
Yes,
and then we end up finding, let's go hang out. That, and we end up in a strip club.
The sparkle in his eye.
Yeah, we end up in a strip club when everybody else is fucking bowling or something. I mean, that's the way it should
work. I feel you, man. I mean, I used to have a lot of straight jobs, like corporate stuff, and I would always be looking for that other guy.
Right.
That was back when I did drugs. Now it's funny because now I'm like clean and sober, and like now everyone I hang out with is a degenerate anyway. And so it almost doesn't even matter.
And those guys still come up to you and go, hey, man, you're like, dude, I'm really clean.
That happens all the time. People offer me drugs every day.
Well, the point to being, that's part of my life. It was like, I always had the challenge of taking a drug test, and I didn't work or leave the career because of it, but it's a funny joke. That's one reason, because it relates to my life being a corporate, financial, fiduciary, responsible guy, and then at night going and telling dick joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, it was like that, like you say, it's a part of your life. It's something that you do. I had a guy one time says, you're doing act outs with Asian voices. I'm like, I've been with my wife for 25 years. I've been around a house, an Asian house, for the last 25 years. I've eaten shit that smells horrible. You know what I mean? Right. I've been in that environment. You cannot expect me to want to do a voice, from the voices I hear.
Yeah.
Sense. My wife's family's Cambodian, and I can't tell how many times I've been sitting there at the table and their parents like, and you're sitting there like, I'm nodding your fucking head.
That really sounds like Cambodian too.
Yeah, well, listen.
I love Cambodia.
Yeah, it's a
great heroin. Just amazing.
Well, listen, hold on. I got to write that down. Cambodia. Hold on a second. It's got great hair. And what was that movie you said I got to catch?
Triumph of the Will.
Triumph of the Will. Yeah, there you go.
Is that filmed in Cambodia?
It was filmed in Germany.
Oh. Well, you know, Cambodia had their own, you know, they lost genocide. About 2 million people. 2 to 3 million people, I think,
yeah,
through
Pol Pot. Khmer Rouge.
You know. But, you know.
Again with the marijuana, just killing everybody. Pol Pot.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, that's true.
I don't know.
He probably should have smoked some Pol Pot.
He would have chilled out.
He
should have. Yeah, he definitely should have. He should have been, like, his name should have been Pol Heroin.
Yeah.
Or Pol Poppy.
Yeah, it's Pol Poppy.
Pol Poppy.
There you go.
Yeah, that's going to be my new, that's going to be my rapper name.
That's
Pol Poppy.
South American dictator.
Yeah.
Pol Poppy.
Well, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and you've been blessed to have guests here. Ciro Dobrik.
Isn't it Dobrik?
Dobrik.
It's probably Dobrik. But.
Dobrik? Dobrik? Yeah. It's like one of those fucking names. It's got two syllables.
It's one of those names that you could say either way, I think.
Dobrik?
Ciro has a weird combination of weirdness and politeness. He's like super angry sometimes and then like super polite.
Yeah, he's contained but, in here.
Dude,
I mean,
just correct just, Dougie, right? Like,
yeah.
Fuck you,
be
Dougie.
Like John
that's
Levine.
Not how my name is pronounced.
You got to be like John Levine.
Like he's very assertive like that.
Yeah, he'll, you know. And that's why I have him around. He's a smart guy. And it's good, you know, because sometimes, you know, when you're reading stories, when you're reading a story right off the list and you don't pick up on a word, you know. I'll give you an let's test your words. You know what the word I-R-E, ire?
Ire?
Yeah.
It means happy.
Is it? Not Irie.
Ire.
Ire? Like anger? Or irritation, I guess?
I don't know. It's like ire. It was used. I've never, to be honest with you, I've never heard it. John knew the word, of course, because he's a smart fuck.
Is it a mineral?
I don't know. Dude, listen, I didn't get a dictionary. I should have gotten a dictionary and read it.
So you still don't know what it means?
I still don't know.
So you've learned nothing
about you guys. I was looking for your help for my special guest here.
I did learn what bodega means. We did a show at a wine bodega, right?
Right.
In the Urban Dictionary, it means a woman who has a horse face that digs given blowjobs.
What?
Well, I wouldn't have thought that was the definition for it, but... That's where
kind of makes it more interesting when you walk through the streets in New York. They have all these bodegas, around.
But anyway. It's actually with a T, bottega.
Oh, bottega.
Bottega, you horse faced cocksucker.
Wow,
that's basically.
I didn't know they were going to be that distinctive to find a name for somebody as opposed to a horse face, you know, ball sucker.
I feel like the Urban Dictionary
is very specific.
I feel like it's not very trustworthy, though. Can you really
trustworthy?
Trust it?
Well,
yeah, it's urban.
Well, we did have 8 years of trustworthy Urban Dictionary. Policies, so.
Right, and that's all going to change.
We all trusted that, right?
Yeah,
that's.
Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with segment two, appropriately enough, after this. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I was recently in El Paso, Texas, and I found myself a new home away from home. That's right, the Courtyard Marriott Airport, right there in El Paso. I was out working at the Comic Strip, beautiful club, by the way. If you're ever in El Paso, you got to stop by. Great place. Beautiful hotel, big room, nice big TV. I got a room with a balcony. It was awesome. The place has a beautiful pool. They got a gym. I didn't use the gym, but it looked great. All the equipment looked magnificent. And, of course, they serve Starbucks coffee 24 hours a day right there on the premises. But if you're a real diehard Starbucks nut, there is one right around the corner. You could walk to it. I didn't walk to it. But they got a great big parking lot. You can park and drive a little bit. Anyway, the Courtyard Marriott Airport in El Paso, Texas. Go out there and great staff. Meet them. Say hi. Tell them you heard it on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and I'm sure they'll fluff your pillow for you. The El Paso Courtyard Marriott Airport. Stop by and say hi.
Hey, this is Lenny Travis from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Listen every morning or Donald Trump will deport you. You homo.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's it's January 2nd here in the studio. I'm here with Ciro Dobrik.
It's Dobrik. Dougie Dobrik.
Ciro Bottega.
Dobrik. Ciro Horseface Dicksucker.
That's what they said in the Bottega Urban Dictionary.
And Ethan Moore.
Hey.
And this is segment two. And, you know, we spent the first part of the segment dissing Fossil. He's going to be, you know, listen.
We're just trying to uncover the situation. There wasn't any dissing in there, was there?
No, here's the thing. I will say this. It shouldn't, at this stage of the game, when it comes to the South Florida comedy scene, this is my advice to Fossil. Stop giving a fuck with anybody these fucking things. You know what I mean? When there was a point there, like, when shit was being said and this and that, I'd be like, and I had one of my comedy mentors said to me, he says, dude, you're so above all that. Why the fuck would you even care? You know, at this point, you know, why would that even, you know what I mean? That's fucking whatever. You know what I mean? And I'm like, you know what? Put in, you know, but that's as an entertainer, well, you got to take that advice. You don't give a fuck what people think.
When it happens to you, you got to kind of care. You know what I mean? Like, if someone steals your bit,
right?
You know what I mean? And then you're like, whoa.
Well, that's that. Well, that's that. Yeah. All right.
And so, you know, sometimes it's like the crypto amnesia. You know what I mean? It's the same punchline. You know what I mean? Because you're going for the same effect with the audience that someone else did. Like, it happened with me and Ethan. That's the thing. That's the
true.
Craziest thing.
We should talk about that.
The West Palm Beach Improv, he goes up before me, and like, there's a bit I did about the Bible, and really, it's all about people smoking pot, and my foreword would be the Sublime song, which is also the Bob Marley song, Smoke Two Joints, right?
Right.
And you sing the song, and you have the audience sing back, basically. And I've done it 4, 5, 6 times, you know what I mean? But it's not every time I do that.
I don't think I've ever seen you do the same thing.
Never. Can't do the same thing because it's a different feeling every time. You know what I mean?
I mean, every time I've seen you, I thought it always seems like you just made the shit up when you went up there. You know what I mean? I mean, right? But that's the beauty of it.
It's the art of it all. I think it's the same joke told the 300th different time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you guys tell the same things over and over again. Why not enjoy it every time you do it? You know what
Man.
I mean? Surprise yourself almost.
So you guys had, in other words, on the same show recently.
Same show, right before I go on, right before we're going across America live, I hear Ethan Moore singing, I smoke two joints in the morning. And here's the thing. Like,
I did that.
If he did do that, and I was like, oh my God, is he sabotaging me right here, right now?
Right.
Like, big time, right? We should have this, like, backstage, one of those, like, real world
like,
things.
Yeah,
like I think Ethan Moore's going to sabotage my whole fucking career. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just one laugh live.
Yeah.
So then, you know, he does it, and I don't know. What'd you think? Did you get the response you wanted?
Well, here's what happened. So I did this joke, which I'd never done on stage before ever, where I sing part of that Bob Marley song. And then that's the setup to the joke, right? And then I go into the joke, which the joke is basically – this guy smokes a lot more than two joints, you know, because it's like, if you count up all the joints he smokes in that song, it's like smoke two joints, you know, he repeats it over and over. So it's like hundreds. And that's basically my joke.
Right.
And so then Ciro comes up to me right after, and he's like, dude, that's my setup. And I'm like, wait, what is it? And then I'm realizing I must have seen Ciro do that at some point in the past, where he sings that and does like the call and response thing with the audience. So here's the thing, though, right?
Well, I'll tell
Same
you,
setup.
Let me be honest. As I've been around, I've heard a few comics. I don't know what the joke was, but I heard him sing that song somewhere in the joke.
Well, also, it is a Bob Marley song, so
exactly.
I guess we all owe royalties to Bob Marley.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and his family.
Yeah, the Marley family.
I'm collecting checks, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, so.
So, I don't know. I was actually going to.
That's why it's like, yeah, I do that bit. But it is someone else's song, and it's using that pop culture reference.
And you have a different punchline, which you told me too, right?
Your
punchline, or it's actually the punchline to your joke. Is that
is the actual song? It's, you know, it's a good closer if you have the audience with you the whole time,
right?
You
right.
You know what I mean? If they're riding on your words, and then you get them to sing with you, then it's a great closer.
So definitely, I did not remember that Ciro had ever sang
that
on stage.
So you said it first. You on the show? You're on first with it?
No.
You were on first.
Ciro's done this like. I don't know.
I
like
wasn't
maybe a year
do
ago.
That joke that night. You know what I mean? It's not like one of my regular jokes.
I got you. So, in other words, he went up and you heard him do it. You
right.
hadn't gone up yet.
I probably saw Ciro do this at his open mic like, you know, a year ago or something.
Maybe.
But you haven't, it hasn't been in your set lately.
Right.
So it's not, it didn't sabotage you to the point where you were going to do the same joke.
No.
And
right.
I definitely wasn't like, oh, and Ciro did that joke. Or Ciro sings Smoke Two Joints. I'm going to sing Smoke Two Joints before Ciro.
I'm going to do it right before, and my voice is better.
That's kind of like the difference between Murder 1 and 2.
Right.
When something's premeditated. Like, you know, in other words, like sometimes,
maybe
you know,
3 and 4.
Like if somebody's sitting there watching YouTube videos and they're stealing jokes, that's joke thievery. You know what I mean? That's just plain, that's just somebody who's not even attempting, you know, to write, you know, versus, I have an idea, I'm thinking this, and then, you know, all of a sudden.
For some reason, during the holidays, I was driving around listening to that song over and over. It's just on one of my playlists on my iPod. And so I'm just like, after I heard it like the 50th time.
How did you guys resolve this? Did you, why you got a scar on your nose? What happened?
He came up to me. It was really funny. He goes,
I was talking shit about Ronda Rousey and... and Amanda Nunes came up and defended her. I'm like, what are you doing?
What the fuck's wrong with you?
It was funny when you came up. You were like, it is really funny, Ethan, that you did that right before I went up at the improv.
I was like, wow, how ballsy. Well, the thing is the article she posted, you know what I mean? And then the fact that that happened, I'm like, wow.
Because it really was an example of that. Like, I'm sure I must have seen you do it. And then I totally, Bob
no
Marley
animosity.
Did it. I don't remember it.
It's not animosity. It's just, hey, I appreciate if you don't do that. If, you know what I mean? If we're
I want to ask you. So we never really talked about this, but since we're on the podcast right here, I wanted to mention this. I've never done that joke on stage. That was the only time I've ever done it, and I'm interested in developing it, but I don't know I don't know where I'm going to take it. You have a different punchline.
Well, it's about smoking pot.
What do you think about that?
So, I mean, if you don't smoke pot, I think you should not use it, but that's...
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, like you can't... Like,
well, I did
you
smoke
can't
pot every day for 10 years.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I'm gonna rule in on it. I'm gonna be in the middle here. Like, for example, I remember I was going on a show one night. It was a showcase. It was in New York, and this thin guy was doing fat guy jokes. No lie. And he was basically saying that I used to be fat, and then I wasn't gonna. I was a guest, so I'm like, but then one of the club's hosts basically went up to him and said, "Dude, you really can't be doing fat guy jokes." You know what I mean?
It's unbelievable.
When you know what I mean? If you're
right,
you know what I mean? And even like the World Series of Comedy, a main event this year, the guy went. I really wanted to do this bit. I didn't want to change it. And this guy goes up who weighs 350 pounds and starts doing fat guy jokes. And I'm like, I don't do fat. I'm chubby guy joke. You know, they're basically and they're my own. And I'm like, I can't do that, you know, but then I did. I'm like, I'm not going to change my set list now. And, you know, I suffered in a sense because it wasn't hitting like it was earlier.
Well, I'll tell you where my mind went with this joke, because basically, like, you know, since I'm in recovery, my mind immediately, and I said this, I think, it was like, this guy smokes a lot more than two joints. And then I think one of my tags was, in fact, I think maybe Bob Marley has a serious problem with marijuana addiction or something like that, you know? And so it's like, that's where I'm going. Is actually the recovery.
So you want to know? You want to build on it?
I might develop it. I don't know. But Ciro, if you're really like against it, I'm like not. I don't know. It's not a. It's obviously just a brand new thing for me. So
right.
See where I can.
I would definitely suggest it's not something you should do.
I won't do it when Ciro's there. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But it's not like I'm saying don't do what you think is creative.
You never want to tell somebody what not to do.
Because
you know what?
I'm not. You know, it's not my song. I didn't make the song up. But the thing was, is like...
Well, just the fact that you go up and sing the same song,
right?
That makes me a little uncomfortable. Like, I'm like, you know what I mean? I don't want to like try to...
It's a weird thing because that...
Even though neither one
of
us wrote it, it's like still like weird,
one of those bits, what you're trying to do is you're saying to the audience at that moment when you're about to sing them that song that has a return response, you know, I got you. You know what I mean? And there's nothing I can do. I can sing a freaking song right now, and you're just going to ride this to the end, you know?
Yeah. I'll say two things. I'll say this. I made decisions, especially with contests and festivals, where I don't do my weed bit at all, only because it's one of those areas that a lot of clubs and stuff will go, oh, weed jokes. You know what I mean? In a sense, like, oh, dollar store jokes. It's almost like in that same realm. But I've always said this, that if even something sounds similar, to me, it never mattered whether who had it first or not. I had an incident where I did I smoked so much weed in my car, my navigation system got stoned. And there was a guy, John Murray, up in Tampa area that, Ken Miller contacts me. He's at the Tampa Improv. He says, man, I just saw this guy do your joke. And the only thing was, I was at an open mic in Tampa a couple months before, and this fucking guy comes up to me and says, hey, that's a great joke. So right there, I said, the guy, that's thievery, because he came up to me, said he liked the joke, now he's telling it.
Oh,
you know what
wow,
I mean?
Okay.
But at the same time, I was like, what am I going to do? I can't tell the guy, I'm not going to go to Tampa and beat his ass every time he fucking tells my joke. So what am I going to, so what I do, I, the only thing I could do is I don't tell that joke anymore. I move on, I right. find something else. You know what I mean? I just go into something completely different.
And another way that comics I've never seen do it, I mean, I've never seen this happen between comics who think they've stepped on each other's toes. We could do it the same show, even. Who gets the best response out of that setup, that delivery, that joke? You know what I mean?
I think, wow, I think, do you know what I mean? I don't know. I think singing the same song, I'll give you an example, like a while back when the Irish Playwright Pub was open, you know, Mike Cintron. You know, we'd do a Denny's joke, and I used to always tell a Jenny's joke with his stuff, like open mic, you know.
Right.
I think it was an open mic joke, and I said, the people on my Denny's joke, was like, why is it the people at Denny's past midnight are the same people that look like they run the church carnival rides?
Hmm.
You know, and then he did the joke, and the moon's over Miami. I said, look, you know, the lady comes over, my moon's over Miami. I'm like, hey, get them flaky tits out of my, you know, that's my punt, you know. But then Mike Cintron wrote a joke about that, and he's like, oh, moon's over Miami. You know, so the just the expression of moon's over yeah. Miami is now being used.
Isn't it Miami?
Miami, yeah. I call it moon's over Miami. And you know what I mean? So it's almost like there's similarity there. And this was back in the day, Fat Chops, when I got him to MC at the old New York Comedy Club. And I referred him to the place and got him. But then, you know, I started watching Fat Chops bit, and he's telling jokes about being so stoned you forget where you're at. And then he's doing a yoga joke, and I do yoga, you know, and all this stuff. I'm like, it wasn't that the jokes were the same. It was just the similar premises similar, like almost every, it was almost like each premise was where I go, but a different joke. So I was like, I told the owner, I said, look, Demir, I don't have him host for me when I'm featuring, because he's going to come out with this four or five of the same shit. You know, he's opening jokes almost the same. So I don't want to tell him what not to do. So it's easier if you just don't have him host. See, and that's when the guy thought I had him banned.
Right.
I just didn't want you to host for me, man.
You know, the way I look at it is, though, if like, let's say if Ciro went up and did his call and response with Smoke Two Joints, or if anyone has a joke and then I'm like, oh, I have something similar in my head, then I look at that as an opportunity, because then I could just go up and then be like, hey, so-and-so was talking about X, and then I can do my tags for the joke.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's with Fat Chops, like you're talking about, if you have like four or five, then, I mean, you can't really do that. You know, if it's like, oh, wow, these are all really similar.
There was one time Jose Sardui does a joke about the blue whale. You know, we both, you know, I do a joke about the blue whale. His is different. He goes into like the people, you know, like, could you imagine these natural people are, and then all of a sudden they found out the hard way, and, you know, he acts like he's getting nailed by the mic stand by a blue. You know, and my joke's different. So we actually worked together one time, and he headlined, I was featuring, and I told the joke, and he went and told his joke, and he just tagged it. In other words, there's a way you can do it. You know,
what you were saying.
Yeah, there. I just don't know if the song could be sung again as a tag.
Right.
No, I think I'd just be like, hey, it just occurred to me while Sierra was singing that song. You know, that's a lot more than two joints. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it also, again, it's desire.
By the way, I don't even know if this is a strong joke, because I've done it exactly once.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's why I'm like, this is why it's an argument that.
Choose your battle.
Although it is on tape. That's the other thing that's funny now.
Across America. Across America. That's 7,100 people have seen. So.
Well, let's move on to a couple other things besides our local comedy scene.
Right.
We saw Ronda Rousey get knocked the fuck out again.
Actually, I blinked and missed it.
Yeah, I put out a meme. I thought was very funny. I thought, you know, she was following the advice of her therapist by keeping her chin up because she suffers from depression. Now she's going to be really depressed.
You mean the depression in the side of her skull?
Yeah, the compressed.
I was watching with a girl, and she was just like, "Will you put your goddamn hands up?"
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't even know how to fight, but I know I wouldn't do that. Just do this.
So are you guys Rousey fans? Because I mean,
never,
South Florida, you got to be Nunes fans.
No,
Miami,
I've
right?
never been. I've never been. Here's the thing I don't like about her. I don't mind. Like, I don't mind people that talk shit. I don't mean people that, you know, that are you know, like a Muhammad Ali, Mayweather. I don't mind people that do that back it up. You know, I don't mind. Like, even in the world of comedy, I don't mind if somebody's got an attitude, this and that, but they earned it. I don't give a fuck. Sometimes that's just something that happens to somebody who's dealt with a lot of success. You know, you're gonna be that way. And so they got it back. Ronda Rousey was to me was always overrated. I'm a former fighter. You know, I refereed fights, I judged fights, MMA and kickbox. When I saw her, I said, I saw a lot of holes. in her stand up. Her hands are down. When she kicks, she drops everything. Huh. So I was, you know, and again, when it came to women's fighting, it's not like it's gotten a lot better. Yeah, you know, but it's still not at the level where you have a depth of talent.
The girls that are involved now, I think, are fighters. She had a lucky move that
right.
She was so good at judo. She was so good at judo that you couldn't even overpower her judo. And once she flipped you, you were already disoriented and your arm was out.
And she got beat by a boxer, right? Nunes is a boxer,
well,
I guess?
Well, the first person that beat her up, which was my favorite knockout I've ever seen in my life, she had just missed one of her big punches. Ronda Rousey goes down to one knee, turns around, and gets kicked in the mouth.
Left leg roundhouse.
Huh.
With the shin to the head. The shin hit her from the head.
Shin. Wow. It was good.
And then her face did the Gumby.
Which
right.
It did again this fight.
So was that a kickboxer or something? Or?
Yeah, Holly. Actually, the lady she lost to was a professional boxer
right.
who learned how to mix martial art. So she had great hands. And she was getting fucked up that whole fight with jabs and the hook and the punches, only to get knocked out.
I believe they said the third jab rocked
right.
her. She was done after right. that. She was.
And you know what? To me, to really be like, I had 10 professional fights, but I had. If you count like the martial arts things, like even the Karate Kid things where you had a tape thing where you had continuous fighting and not just a ring, I had hundreds of fights. And you know what I mean? In a ring, at least another 15, 20 amateur fights. So even with that, you know what I mean? Ronda Rousey did not have the time in the ring.
No.
You know, she didn't, you know, so there was a lot of holes. So I always felt she was overrated. I always felt that, you know what I mean? And then when she got on Entourage and she started doing all this shit, I'm like, she's a horrible actor. By the way, I posted something on Facebook, and Dave Lamont, who's on the Paul Castronovo show now, and you know, he got a mad because I said, I posted, how long will it be before she's in porn?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, boy, what's with the hostility, Dave Lamont? I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, oh, you know, it's sexist. I go, dude, first of all, it has nothing to do with being sexist. Because he said, well, what if a guy gets knocked out? You're going to say he's going to be in a gay porn? And I said, well, maybe, only if he was an actor and he was a bad one at that. You know, like, in other words, somebody came out and pointed out, like, I'm sexist now because I mentioned the word porn with her because it's a woman. You know, listen, you're an ESPN writer and commentator. You know, mind your own fucking business. This is a comedy post. And you know what? She's an actress. She, you know, she claims she's, God forbid, they're going to do the remake of The Roadhouse. Remember, she was going to be you talk about a movie you don't want to. I'd rather go see that fucking Mein Kampf movie, whatever the fuck you're talking about, than this Roadhouse remake.
God, that was going to be such a good bit. Yeah. If they remake Roadhouse, I will probably become a millionaire. Remember that Ron White joke where he got a ticket in Florida? He goes, the speed limit was 5 miles an hour. You were going 8. Because you know I can throw you in jail for this. Going double the speed limit. He goes, please throw me in jail.
Exactly.
Just remake it.
And to the end of segment two, another person who has fallen, another person who I really don't give much shit for, and she's like, Mariah Carey eats a dick in the New Year's Eve show on ABC, it was.
What exactly happened? Because I didn't see it. I heard that she like put her microphone down and the music was still going or something. Or
Let me say this: almost every performer, except for that, I think they're a pretty good band, is the theatricals. Disco, was that
the Bee Gees?
No, their disco's in their name. Just something in the disco. Panic at the Disco. They came out. They were singing. That was live music. Everybody else was lip syncing, which, you know what, if you're going to be on that show, I know there's all, fucking, let's see performances.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can picture when Prince was singing his ass off at the fucking Super Bowl, right, at halftime. It was raining, his guitar was out of tune, he was still fucking hammering away at it.
He's got all those opiates coursing through his veins.
I know, right? Listen.
Singing Purple Rain.
That's right.
Rain.
Fuck yeah, dude. Meanwhile, Mariah Carey sitting there, her earpiece came out. Accusations have been flying since Mariah Carey's unfortunate performance on the New Year's Eve programming. Staple went awry with armchair critics at home snarkily tweeting that she was a phoning it in. She was. And then something went wrong. She lost track of the song. Her choreography was, all these guys were trying to push her along and she was like pushing them away.
Huh.
She was getting pissed. She's like, we're supposed to be over here. And she's like, fuck it. You know, she's even talking. When the music's playing, she's like, and her voice is in the background, she's talking. And then she tried to sing some of the lines, and it was like, over her own voice, it was horrible.
You freaking imagine, like, if that was, like, a thing comedians did, where they would go out on stage and lip sync something going on behind them the whole time, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong, and they're like, he's not even telling jokes.
Yeah.
What are we even doing here?
It's a great, I mean, it's a great point. We couldn't do that. As comics, we can't go out there and go, look, my voice is a little scratchy. It's cold out. You know, what if I can't say my joke?
And my opinion with her is good. I'm so glad she's finally come out to be shit. Like, everybody's thought forever. I'm sorry. Yeah, you hit one note in the 90s.
You know, getting caught lip syncing is like the singer version of getting caught doing someone else's jokes, almost. Except you're doing your own, which is weird. But it's funny because people always say, "Hey, why can't you just go up and do like Ronnie Dangerfield jokes or something? You know, like you could go and you could cover someone else's song if you're a singer." Like, hasn't anyone ever said that to you?
Jim Brewer, did a thing where they had joke karaoke.
Okay.
And you would go up and do other people's bits.
Right. But that's like a gimmick.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, listen, I've had people, say, hey, why don't you just tell this joke on stage? I'm like, because it's not my joke. You know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of times, I've seen this a lot, when you book a room, a lot of comics will close the show with, hey, I got some old jokes I'd like to tell you.
Right.
And
that's different, though.
I know, but here's the thing. Like, Perry Sag and I have spoken about this. Our friend Lenny Travis does it when he closes the show. I personally don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I don't like it.
But I feel like it's kind of okay, because you're like, this is like one of my favorite, or like, this is a joke my father told me when I was six.
Right.
Or, and I'm going to do that as a bit.
I've been on stage and I've been performing and the crowd was going nuts. I ended up telling a joke. And that was not, like, let's say it was just a joke, old joke, and people were cracking up. And I even said, that's an old joke. And I go, that's an old joke. You know what I mean? Because everybody's just laughing at it. What's a typical one? My father said, don't masturbate. Dad, I'm over here. You know what I mean? Like, I think that was what I even told one time. Lenny Travis tells a joke. And I was, it's an old fucking joke. Because to qualifying it, look, don't get mad at me for telling that joke. But, when somebody does it at the end of the show, it's like, all right, so you didn't want to write your own last 10 minutes.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? No, it is a little bit of that, yeah.
And honestly, forget about being the comic, but as the booker, what that kind of makes me feel like is I don't want to book that person again. I want to book somebody who's going to come out and do 45 minutes of material, not 35 minutes of material, and then 10 minutes of, I'll throw these people this bone at the end.
Well, I paid you for 100%, you gave me 72%.
Yeah.
What are you, a girl? I mean?
Yeah.
Are you Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of shit are we dealing with here? Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Ciro Dobrik.
God, it's Dobrik.
Dobrik, like Doughboy. Doughboy.
Doughboy, yeah. But like...
Hey, Dobrik. Like Ciro Dobrik. Dobrik.
Dobrik.
Like a brick of dough.
Like a brick of dough.
Like Ciro Dobrik. And Ethan Moore, which is easy to remember.
Easy.
I'm Dougie Alamedia. And we'll be back with Straight from the Headlines right after this.
Hey, this is Pete Lee, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, because it's late, and I just woke up.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things that have happened around the world and make fun of it. Not like we haven't been doing that already.
Yeah.
But this is different. Dog named Scarface attacks Florida family for dressing it in a sweater. Good for the dog. I'm a dog owner, and I don't put clothes on my fucking dog. Unless I'm shooting a video.
Bath salts.
Just
did not like bath salts.
You know what I mean? This happened in, hold on, I want this video to start. Okay. I think it was in Tampa.
Oh, man, I grew up around there. That sounds about right.
Tampa, Florida. Police in Florida say a dog named Scarface attacked a family who tried to put a sweater on it. Tampa police say the pit bull mix bit a 52-year-old woman who was trying to dress it Friday, and her husband was attacked.
Oh, pit bull mix named Scarface. Very original.
While trying to pull the dog off her, police say the couple's 22-year-old son was attacked while trying to stop the dog by stabbing it in the neck and in the head. Boy, what a great way to start the new year. The three people escaped the house and left the dog in the backyard. They ended up in the hospital. Jeez. Police say animal control officers shot it with a tranquilizer gun, but it managed to get back into the house where two children were. Police used a beanbag gun and stun gun on Scarface before catching it. Scarface, just put the fucking sweater on. Do me a favor. Just put the fucking sweater on. It's not that bad.
He went back in to attack more people.
Yeah.
Now that's... I think that's first degree dog murder.
That sweater had to be like, that was like the last straw, right? He'd endured a whole lot of indignities.
I'm sure at some point one of the kids tried to shove a dildo up its ass.
Something
had
like
to.
That.
You know what I mean? I mean, you can't just get mad at, you can't get mad at the sweater.
It's Tampa, so we did hear the story about the firecracker up the butt of the turtle that could have been the same kid.
I did not know that.
I didn't hear that story either, but who hasn't done that?
Right.
I had a friend that used to catch lizards, put firecrackers in their mouth and watch them run away, and they blew up. I was like, that's fucking cruel. And I remember I stopped being friends with this kid, right? He was like, hey, man. I'm like, dude, you know, you're a little dark, dude. You know what I mean?
I feel like if you're going to stick like firecrackers up lizard's butts, then you got to eat the meat, you know?
Well, that'd be one.
I don't know if you're going to,
I don't know if you can get a firecracker up there. Maybe
it's
a lady
like
finger.
Like the Indians.
Maybe a lady finger up a lizard's ass. Unless you're talking about one of those big, like, you know.
That's a good comedy show.
The Gecko?
Yeah.
Lady Finger Up a Lizard's Ass show tonight.
Yeah. Lady Finger Up a Lizard's Ass show. That would be a good fucking show. Hey, this should be interesting. Finland just launched an experiment giving 2,000 people free money until 2019.
I'm not here. I just left for Finland.
Yeah, well, it's too late. It's interesting. Finland has an ambitious New Year's resolution in mind. Learn how offering free money for 2 years helps the unemployment get back to work. Starting January 1st, 2017 and lasting until 2019, the Federal Social Security Institution, KELA, will distribute roughly $590 each month to 2,000 jobless Finns.
Wow. I guess capitalism is finished, right, guys? Hey, yeah. It's a pun.
Now, the idea, the experiment will be, what will happen with these folks? One of the biggest problems in this country is the welfare state of the last 8 years. You know, like, hey, you know, one of my new jokes I told was that I'm going to the open mic over at the Buddha that night. We were hung out. I got like, oh, I heard this is a millennial bar, so I ordered a beer and told them Obama would pay for it. You know what I mean? That's simple. You know what I mean? In a sense, that's what the last 8 years have been. It's like, hey, don't worry about it. We'll take care of the debt. We'll take care of this. And listen, I have a HARP loan on the house. You know, I got a refund from that whole deal. I'm paying like 3% and no percent on two loans on this house that I'll never, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm paying a 20 year 0% interest loan.
Wow.
Think about that. So, you know, but the idea is, okay, if these guys get $600 a month, and then, you know,
for 2 years,
just no, they don't have to worry about trying to find jobs or anything like that. Will it say, okay, will they take it and then get work and then actually start banking that, or will they just try to live off the $598.90?
Huh. Of course they're going to live off it, because that's what you were just saying.
I'd like to
get
that deal.
It's worked so well in America. We've tried that finish.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't make money. I mean, I make a little doing comedy, but I don't make enough. And I never got anything from Obama or Finland, for that matter.
You don't get subsidized health care through Obamacare?
No.
You didn't sign up for Obamacare?
I couldn't afford it.
Even that you couldn't afford?
Yeah.
So you pay the penalties not having health insurance?
You have to file a tax return to pay penalties.
I could just see he's going to get an estimate on the Social Security.
I'm glad if Trump takes that away. I mean, it's going to be $1,800 for the penalty for not having health insurance.
I don't want to get into the healthcare discussion. You know, I'm an insurance agent for 25 years. I mean, you know, and it didn't have to say Obama on it. The idea of the coverage they wanted to do, I knew was not going to work. It's a blanket coverage for everybody. And if everything's covered, eventually it's not going to be affordable for anybody.
Of course.
Because this is not a healthy country. This is a diabetes-ridden, bad-eating society that, you know, we're going to put free health care for all these people. You know, I don't want to pay for that fucking 850-pound lady who can't stop stuffing Oreos into her fucking fat gullet. You know,
GMO Oreos.
Yeah,
too.
The good ones. I'll see what happens with it. I don't know. It could work. But that's the idea. Man alleges ageism after getting banned from Starbucks for asking teen barista on a date. Here's a guy that goes into Starbucks, right? The guy is, I believe, he's in his 30s. You know, he's going to get a cup of coffee. You know, he sees a cute girl. Now, you know, in all defense, you know, I've seen women before. You know, listen, I'm you know, I'm going to be 50, God dang it. You know, so if I see anybody, if I see anybody who looks in their 20s, I'm like, what am I going to hit on them? You know what I mean? But you, you have been fooled.
I will.
I mean, you're a younger guy. So, you know, if you, you, sometimes 15, 8 looks 19, 20, and I'll do, you know. 37-year-old man has been banned from a Starbucks in Washington State after a 16-year-old barista asked her out to dinner. The man, who was identified as by Krem since he's not been charged with a crime, said that he was in Starbucks in Spokane last week and wrote a note asking out a barista. I was flirted with by the barista. For some reason, she thought I was funny. Must have been Fozzle. Said I was funny, so I gave her a note to see if she'd be interested in dinner, the man wrote in a Facebook post. Only when he went back the next day where they banned him because he was hitting on a 16-year-old.
I'm mad about this. I'm mad. I just got back from Spokane, and I'm telling you, she looked 14.
Yeah. This I mean, you know, the guy's 37 and she's 16. He's a bit of a perv trying to hit on the barista.
Yeah. I he's not a wholesale, you know, terrible guy, but he's kind of a jackass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's not the best guy. He's not best man at your wedding material, but
yeah.
He's you're gonna invite the guy to the wedding. You're like,
yeah, he can hang out. Just don't let him hang out with the kids.
He's the Zach Galifianakis of people. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's that guy that you let him come. Just
I wouldn't make a Facebook post though. That seems
well. He posted on Facebook that hey, some girl was flirting with me, so I sent her a note. You know, listen. Oh, if he knew that she was
bragging about sending a note.
Yeah.
At 37.
I wrote on there, do you like me, yes or no?
What the hell?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's been so long since I've been single, so I don't know what it's like to hit on chicks anymore.
It's exclusively through Snapchats and Starbucks notes now,
that's
Dougie.
It. That's
what
it.
Our generation
that's
does.
That's how we pick up chicks in Starbucks and
apparently
Snapchat.
Those dating apps, those Tinders and everything is working, right?
Oh, they work great.
People
now, you got a girl, right? You guys living together? You're married? You know?
Just having fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just so, how long you been with your girl?
Probably too long. No. I just...
you stole that joke. I used to tell that joke. You heard me tell that joke.
I've been dating probably for over like 2 years, something like that.
Yeah, all right. So you're not living together, just, yeah.
No.
And you don't got a girl, right?
Nah, well, I'm kind of seeing a girl right now, but I'm wild and free, man. I'm on the
good
road.
Good for you.
Doing comedy. Banging chicks.
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
Mostly chicks.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Depends.
Mostly protected, which is...
That's always important.
Protected is overrated.
Yeah, I'm protected. I had the fire alarm on while I was banging her. This was an interesting story I saw on the news today. Twins delivered minutes apart, and now they have different birth years. Right?
Oh.
In Arizona, twins delivered 10 minutes apart at an Arizona hospital over the New Year's weekend. Have different birth years.
See, I feel bad for the parents because before you could just have one birthday party. Now you got to have one on the 31st and one on the 1st. That's double the clowns.
And it's really bad for tax purposes. They can only deduct the one kid.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. You know, says here that Holly and Brandon Shea welcomed her first son Sawyer into the world at 11:51 p.m. Saturday, and Banner Hospital, their second son Everett arrived 1 minute after midnight on Sunday.
Sawyer and Everett?
There you
go. The parents, Moon Pie and Dipshit. Yeah.
I think the birthday is the least of those kids' worries.
Yeah. Everett. Who names their kid Everett?
What does a guy named Sawyer grow up to be? I mean, what do you do? What are you?
Yeah.
Do you ever
date a girl, Holly? Do you ever date a girl named Holly?
Yeah.
Right? Holly and Candy were always wild chicks.
Huh.
Right? Any Holly or... I always try to bang... There's this one Candy I always try to go after in high school, but I wasn't getting no candy.
I wasn't
getting any of that candy, but I wanted it. Everybody else was getting that candy. You know what I mean? Candy... Like, if you find a redheaded candy, you better fucking Cosby that bitch, because...
That's a good stripper name.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
I feel like one day...
Or just Candy.
I feel like one day Sawyer's going to change his name to Candy.
Yeah.
Or Holly,
yeah.
Maybe.
I don't feel comfortable with Sawyer. I feel like my name is Syphilis.
I've always been a Candy.
Yeah.
With an
Sawyer.
Eye.
Sawyer.
Everest. Get out of my life.
Everest. What do you think? You're a fucking, you know, a big mountain. Oregon court reverses DUI on a poor guy in a wheelchair.
You mean they they drove over him in reverse?
No. I mean, here's a guy that one of those motorized wheelchairs.
Yeah. Like a Rascal?
Yeah. Probably bigger, like one of the big, Portland,
like
Oregon.
A Stephen Hawking type wheelchair.
This guy was, I wonder if you saw the guy at the fucking Starbucks. The Oregon Court of Appeals has reversed the conviction of a wheelchair user who had been found guilty of driving under the influence of intoxicants. James Green of Walport was arrested on November back in 2012, after entering a crosswalk in a motorized wheelchair and striking the side of a moving pickup. Police determined he was impaired by alcohol and drugs, and the jury convicted him of drunken driving.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, you
know, that's great. That's a great story, Dougie.
I know they've gotten out of control. I've talked to people who've gotten DUIs on bicycles.
You saw that one person getting the shit beat out of him on the video by a cop in a wheelchair, remember?
Mm.
She was cop was fucking
wait, the cop was in a wheelchair?
No, the cop was like, there was like in their interrogation room.
Uh-huh.
And you never know the story. I mean, she may have fucking killed two babies or something.
Right.
And she mouthed off and tried to grab the cop, and the cop just starts beating the wailing the fuck punching the shit out of this woman, and she's in the wheelchair. She looks like one of those air things, like the fucking the outside of cars, selling cars.
Right.
She's like waddling her hands up in the air. And in his appeal, Green argued that he should have been considered as a pedestrian.
Right.
Listen, if you don't like the way things are going, just get up and walk out.
Yeah.
The state disagreed, pointing to a law that treats motorized wheelchairs like bicycles when they're driven in bike lanes. It's an opinion Thursday. The appeals court decided legislators only intended to have wheelchairs treated like bicycles in that narrow circumstance, and users should be considered pedestrians when on a crosswalk. So he's no longer being convicted of DUI. Right? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I've seen, you've had those people that are like in those big ones. Oh, excuse me, pardon me, motherfucker, you got to wait like as if you were walking. Just because you got that fucking, semi.
Doesn't mean you get first priority.
Imagine he's in the DUI school, though, and he's getting all the tips, for like red lights and like from the.
By the way, fuck bike lanes. Get them out of here.
Yeah.
Go back to riding your bike in a park.
I disagree. I ride my bike everywhere, Ciro.
Yeah.
Why do you want to fuck with my lifestyle?
I got an idea. You'd stop riding in bike lanes and he'll stop telling your joke. So you guys got that worked out then? You guys got it all figured out?
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Here's a story. Keep the change. Cop says man tipped server with a Valium pill. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Here's a tip. Don't give a prescription painkiller as a gratuity. According to police, the gesture led to trouble for a patron of a Pennsylvania casino on Thursday. State police say the man of Sands Casino in Bethlehem tipped a server with a Valium pill.
Huh. Wow. It's not the 70s anymore with Sharon Stone and Robert De Niro out there.
That's at least 15%, though.
David Carnevale of Caldwell, New Jersey, faces charges of possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance. He was released on his own recognizance and fell down the stairs of the court because he was on Valium. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for January 8th for him. We don't know if he has an attorney.
I'm still angry they won't take my Quaaludes down at the car wash.
I know, right?
Give
a guy a bag of weed after they just vacuum your fucking back seat. Hey, dude, I don't got any money, take my stash.
Hey, whatever you can find between us. Yeah, exactly. See, we're going for the same joke again.
You guys are probably twins that were born.
We're of one mind.
The funniest thing is I knew you were, and that's why I looked over. I'm like,
Canadian man punches cougar attacking dog near a fast food store.
That lady shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it turns out it was just some lady with fucking leopard skin pants.
Why is she trying to have sex with the guy that owns that house? Leave him alone.
Calgary, Alberta, a Canadian man punched a cougar in the face to stop it attacking his dog in a wooded area near a fast food store in Whitecourt, central Alberta. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police showed up. Oh, take care of that, young man. William Gibb, 31, from Red Deer, Alberta, has stopped at a Tim Hortons outlet, a popular Canadian restaurant chain, while driving about 372 miles to Grand Prairie on Monday evening and let his dog out for a walk. Shortly after, Gibb heard his 80-pound female husky called Sasha, a lot better than Everett, whimpering in pain, and found a cougar pinning her to the ground. I could see something wrapped around her and wasn't sure what it was. I ran over and punched it. I just punched it right in the face.
Wow.
what I thought was its head and backed off and realized it was a cougar.
Whoa.
Stepped over Sasha and charged it and swinging and screaming and calling for my brother and buddy to give a hand. Fuck you.
But I couldn't hear him because I was in the car driving away.
What's the point of having a dog?
I know.
Isn't the dog supposed to attack the wild animals for you? Isn't that why we have them?
You know, I got like a Jack Russell. You saw the dog, right? Uh-huh. And that fucking dog thinks it's a pit bull. So, like, it attacks everything. I can't go to the dog park because, you know, it picked fights with the biggest fucking dogs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if that all of a sudden it grabbed my dog, what am I supposed to do? You know, I've been in street situations where I've kicked a pit bull. And I come over and fucking low kick a pit bull and fucking, you know, broke the dog's collarbone. But, you know, I mean, that's because it's biting, you know, it's a pit bull.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do if, like, you know, a little poodle starts grabbing at your dog and,
wish you weren't there the whole time.
Like, and then the poodle's wearing a sweater. It's weird.
Cougar, Gibbs said he kept the cougar at bay, which said he'd swiped at him a few times as he tends to his injured dog and called the police before getting Sasha into his truck and driving her away for medical attention.
I feel like Dougie really likes to pick stories where dogs get injured. Why is that? What's the
our next story?
Well, what about that kangaroo story last week? Guy went right there, punched that kangaroo.
Yeah, I know, right? That was awesome. The kangaroo lad that looked like, motherfucker, he got some fast hands. That's like
the same look Ronda Rousey had.
It's a lot worse, actually. You know, you talk about bits, and like one of my bits, I've done it a couple open mics, and I want to talk about wanting to getting a bit going, is my bitch slap bit. You know, I'm like, you know, it's like some people think only a woman could bitch slap somebody. It's not true. A guy can bitch. Anybody can bitch slap somebody.
Doesn't mean you get smacked like a bitch, not by a bitch, or you know what I mean.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The bitch slap doesn't mean a bitch
is
slapping.
It means that you're the bitch.
That's right. That's right. All it means is if you got bitch slap, you're the bitch.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, it's a lot better than it's not. Bitch slap is a lot more authoritative and a lot more direct than the poke in the chest. You know, you can give somebody a poke in the chest, which is like, you know who the fuck I am. You know, you give them that's usually. But if you poke somebody in the chest, you're probably gonna get bitch slapped.
When I get poked in the chest, I'm usually on my knees. That's how I'm getting.
Well, you know, we all have our own, you know, demons.
Candle wax. There's a lot of things going on.
Exactly. And one of our last stories of the day, South Korea shuts website mapping women of childbearing age.
Thank God.
Can you imagine that's...
I was addicted to that site. Did you have no idea?
It's right. Serious problem.
Right? If you go in his browser history, he has RedTube and South Korean baby making.
Just imagine Ciro with his pants around his ankles and an almanac of South Korea.
Oh, look at the hips on that girl. God. Oh, my God. She's lactating.
That my dream would never come true. Just get it away.
In Seoul, South Korea, Seoul Korea's government closed its website that drew fury for showing the number of women, a number of women in childbearing age by each city district and region.
How is that so weird? Aren't those statistics published everywhere?
I don't think it's saying. It's basically telling every guy out there who wants to, you know, hey, these women are ready to have kids.
Does it have their address, or is it just like a map with like general populations?
I think it's on Google Maps.
No, it's like, dude, can you imagine going there? This Asian woman's face, you know, with like, you know, like a bread in the oven next to it, or you know, like,
oh, so
like,
you can see details and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh wow. So it's like child molesters, except the mother.
The Ministry of the Interior website featuring the pink birth map remained closed on Friday.
Wow.
The website had gone offline after just a few hours following criticism. The government is trying to shame women for not having babies. Some said the government treated the birth rate issue as concerning only women, pointing out that no picture of men were used because they're too busy jerking off.
Oh, so it's literally just all the women who haven't had kids.
Right.
All on this, and then you can see. So they're like shaming them. They're like,
I think that's ridiculous.
Look at Mrs. Kim in apartment 304. She's ready.
She has no kids to take care of. Somebody go rape her.
It's so weird. Was Korea part of the whole one child policy thing?
No,
it's just China, right? Yeah. But they're like the opposite. They're like not fucking.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's almost in some of these countries, it's getting so bad that there's so many single men. Because it's you know, you talk about a cock fest, you know, they can't find women. So there's a whole generation of men that are saying, fuck it.
Yeah.
We're not even going to try to.
Happening in China, especially where they have the one child thing.
Yeah, they don't. There's like, you know, they're all becoming eunuchs.
But anywhere where you have like no population growth is like bad, right? You end up with crime and it's bad for the economy. And it's like that movie, Children of Men.
Is that next to the, hold on, let me write that movie down too.
Oh yeah, it's in the top 10.
I know that in this country, Americans are having less kids than the gay spawn other all the populace in the world.
Right.
You know, we're having like 1 to 1.5 kids or, you know.
But it's made up by immigration and stuff,
right,
too.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah,
like it evens out.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you're Donald Trump and you care about.
Well, yeah, that'll stop soon. Don't worry.
Yeah.
That'll be ending soon.
That's right. Yeah.
We'll be publishing that map.
By the way, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. We're done with the stories.
Thank you.
Oh.
And let's all hail our supreme leader, Donald Trump.
Yay. Make America great again.
Listen, I think we're going to have balls. I posted that, and boy, can you feel we're growing our balls back? And all kinds of people jumped in on that.
Well, there's a drug, Respirol, that man. Makes you grow man boobs.
Right? Really?
I think there's Boobadol, because Trump's got some big balls. That's
yeah.
all I got to say.
Yeah. I just can't wait to oppress everyone.
Well, people
That's
are
what
oppressed.
I'm looking Listen, for.
Here's the thing. The people that are worried about being oppressed are oppressed. You know what I mean? I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of people that are worried about, don't tell me what to do. And then when they're by themselves, I need somebody to tell me what to do. Anyway, we got some plugs. Don't forget, by the way, Wise Guys Comedy Show's back after taking the month off of December like
Yay.
We always do. I'll be there, your host, Devin Siebold, very funny comic, winner of Monsters of Comedy a couple of years ago. I'll be your feature. And Al Romero is your headliner. And we're going to have shows every week. Ty Rivera is going to be in town, very funny from comic from L.A., you got some stuff coming up?
I do. First of all, I just want to say that I won my fantasy football Super Bowl yesterday, so I just won my league in fantasy football. I just wanted to say that. And I didn't watch any football. I don't watch football. I just use the statistics to win.
Hmm.
Just bragging. That was just bragging. I wanted to plug myself and my fantasy football skills. Second, I want to talk about the 33rd Street Wine Bar Show, which Eric Rosenblum and I do on one Tuesday a month at the 33rd Street Wine Bar. The next one coming up is January 24th, and our headliner is Dean Napolitano. So that's going to be at 9 o'clock. It's a free show. 33rd Street Wine Bar in Fort Lauderdale on the beach there. It's going to be a great show. The other thing I want to plug is Sex on Cava. I have my podcast, Sex on Cava. It's controversy. Faisal Malik, John Gregory, all kinds of crazy stuff happens on there, and weirdos who hang out in the Cava bar. So look up Sex on Cava on iTunes, or you can just go to sexoncava.com. And finally, the Butch and Femme comedy tour. Anna Lepley and I, super funny lesbian comic, we're touring all throughout the southeastern United States, and we've got some shows coming up in South Carolina later this year, and we've got a top secret project we're working on in South Florida that hopefully is going to come to fruition around Valentine's Day. So stay tuned. Check out butchandfemcomedy.com for details on that. Lots
there you
of
go.
Cool gay stuff happening.
How about you there, sir?
Every Monday night, I do a open mic comedy forum at the 19th Hole Bar and Grill in Hollandale, 106 East Pembroke Road, Hollandale, Florida. And exciting news, that's actually going to be one of the sub-satellites for the World Series of Comedy this year.
Awesome.
If you're not going to do stuff at a real club like Tavolino's, please sign up and do it at the 19th Hole.
I know. Cause
be great.
Now, people can enter because we're having ours on May 24th, one night. It's a World Series of Comedy satellite. You can enter. You pay once. You can enter ours, yours, any of them. If you heard it on this show, sorry, you got to sign up through Tavolino. Otherwise, I don't get the credit. But you know, go to that and sign up. Either way, you can go to any of them and take Chai out for the that. But come back. Go to the open mic on Monday nights.
And
that's it. And
that's great, man. Congratulations. That's so cool.
And, by the way, a lot of that's coming up. And for more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. I'm going to be in headlining Rocky Gap Casino in Maryland on the 19th. John Levine will be with me. I'll be in the West Virginia Comedy Zone. And then I'm going to be Valentine's Week with Rich Voss at Off the Hook Comedy Club. So go for
awesome.
That and more dates. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Tomorrow in the studio, Elgin David and Peter Leonard will be here. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. And that's it. We'll see you guys tomorrow right here at the same spot. Take care.
Yeah, thanks. Happy New Year.
Thanks. Happy New Year. People of the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one.
setting fire to the sky as he nailed it. Carrying to the world, children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. To the door, to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes,